Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 6. The book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 25. Judges chapter 6, verse 25. Now let me kind of preface this passage. Many of you know the story of Gideon, where the angel of the Lord came to Gideon and said, "Mighty warrior." And of course, in that moment where the angel of the Lord spoke this over Gideon, he was in the midst of hiding. He was hiding. He wasn't a mighty warrior. He wasn't getting ready for battle. He wasn't putting armor on. He wasn't sharpening his sword. He was hiding. I truly believe that there's a word coming forth tonight that is going to shift the way you see God. It's going to shift the way you see yourself. It's going to shift the way you see your destiny and your call and your purpose. And the angel of the Lord speaks this over Gideon, and we know the rest of the story. For those who have heard this, he calls Gideon to be this mighty warrior. But then he gives Gideon a second call, and I want you to see this is where we find ourselves in Judges chapter 6, verse 25. "That night the Lord said to Gideon, 'Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one that is 7 years old. Pull down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole standing beside it. Then build an altar to the Lord your God here on the hilltop sanctuary, laying the stones carefully. Sacrifice the bull as a burnt offering on the altar, using as fuel the wood of the Asherah pole you cut down.'" Let's pray. Father, I pray, open our ears to hear, our hearts to respond, that we may be changed by the incredible, awesome, mighty power of your word in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen and amen. You may be seated. Again, I just got to say, it's such an awesome privilege to be here. We do need to give a round of applause to your awesome pastors. You guys have some of the greatest pastors, some of the greatest ministers and pastors that anyone could ever ask for, and they love you guys dearly, and it's amazing. You know, when I was young, I was probably about 6 years old. One of my favorite things to do, and some of you have even heard this story before, one of my favorite things to do is I love not to build sandcastles. I was the kid that loved to knock them down. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I would just get savage on those things. You know, people coming from Hawaii, people would build things on the beach, and I'd get so excited when they'd build something, and it was just sitting there, and everybody was gone, and I just like, I'm going to demolish this. I'm going to body slam this thing, right? Well, there was this one day I was at the beach, and there was this family, and this family had built such a beautiful sandcastle. Now, I don't know where they got the stuff from, but, man, they had the pre-molded towers and tops and all these different things, and they had all the tools that you needed, and all the sandcastle tools, and they built this beautiful sandcastle. Beautiful. This thing was amazing. And of course, in my head, I'm looking at this sandcastle. I'm amazed by this incredible sandcastle. The detail. They had the lines and everything. It was just, they had a door and the bricks. They had this little tool to carve out all the bricks on the sandcastle. And I'm looking at this thing, and in my head, all I could imagine was knocking that thing down. All I could see, I was visualizing the attack. And all of a sudden it happened. They started putting all their stuff away, all their tools, putting it in their bag, washing everything off. And I watched them as the parking lot was up above the hill, and it was in a hill far away. And they went up the hill, they're walking up the hill, and all of a sudden they were gone. So you knew what time it was, right? In that moment, now look, yeah, I wasn't bashful about it. I straight up got in a 3-point defensive lineman stance, man. I got down, I crouched down, I got in my 3-point stance, and I'm talking, Minister Derek, I was like this and everything, man. I was ready to knock this thing down, and I ran as fast as I possibly could, jumped as high as I could, got my elbow in perfect position, and I body slammed that sandcastle. I brought forth the greatest bit of destruction. I pulverized that sandcastle. It didn't have a chance.
And I just obliterated that sandcastle. Let me tell you, six-year-old me obliterated that sandcastle. Didn't know it was coming. And as I'm jumping on that sandcastle, all I hear is, no! Little did I know, this was before cell phones. This is before you carried your email, your phone, your camera, your life in your pocket. Little did I know, they went up to their car to put away their sandcastle tools and grab their camera to take a picture of the sandcastle that they just spent hours building on the beaches of Maui. And here's this punk little six-year-old boy demolishing, playing Godzilla on their sandcastle. As I was studying this passage, this picture came to me over and over. I kept seeing six-year-old Josh destroying the sandcastle. And I started watching, seeing Gideon have to destroy, getting called by God to have to destroy his father's altar. See, this altar just wasn't something that was built up that remained in their backyard. This was something that was precious. It was special. It meant everything, not just to that house, but to that community. And now God was calling Gideon to have to tear down this altar. Title of my message tonight, if you're taking notes, the title of my message, young people, is break it down, build it up, and set it on fire. Break it down, build it up, set it on fire. Come on, someone say with me, break it down, build it up, set it on fire. Here's this moment where God called Gideon to tear down the altar of his own house. And this is what's unique. Even before he led the children of Israel to this incredible victory, God called Gideon to tear down the altars of his own house before he set a nation free. And I want you to hear this tonight. God often deals with what is in us before he deals with what surrounds us. A lot of us want a national revival, but friends, revival starts in your backyard. Revival doesn't start with the church. It starts with you. It starts in your living room. It starts in your backyard. It is ignited. Revival is ignited inside of you first. And I want you to hear this because obedience has to happen before the miracle comes. A lot of people, they want the miracle and then they'll give. They want the miracle, they'll obey. They want the miracle and the breakthrough and then they'll trust God. But this is what God says. He says, listen, Gideon, I need you to trust me. I need you to obey me and I'll bring forth the miracle. I need you to give, Gideon, and I'll bring forth a miracle. I need you to do what I've called you to do, Gideon, and then I'll produce a miracle. God says, obey me, and I'll pour out the blessing. Trust me, and I'll lead you to victory. What was so significant about this altar is that this moment, this altar represented the condition and the state of Israel. Their hearts were far from God. They were worshiping idols. And as we look at this, I want you to see before you hear it's really what the children of Israel, what this altar, Gideon's father's altar represented. The first thing that we see is the very foundation. It was idolatry. It was an idol to them. And what's crazy is this. When it was said, I want you to tear down this false worship. This worship means this, adoration. It's what places these idols. It's the place that these idols have in your heart. It's not just something that's there that I offer a sacrifice on. It was more than that. It was this right here. It says, what is precious to you? What has place in your heart? Some of us, man, if we were told, hey, you know what, this week I need you to fast Instagram, we're like, that ain't Jesus. Pastor, I can't live without finding out what's going on. Pastor, I can't live with someone liking my post. What would I do with myself? Young people, can I challenge you this week in this camp? Why don't you fast Instagram this week? Oh, Pastor, I would die. But this is what's crazy. These altars were precious. These altars had a place in their heart. It was a place of adoration to a false god. And God calls us to deal with the root, so that the fruit can begin to prosper and to flourish. And the Midianites and the Amalekites were a product. This is what you don't understand, is that they were a product of false worship. What happened was this: they started worshiping Baal and worshiping Asherah, and that opened the doors for their captivity. That opened the door. See, at that moment, what had happened is these armies came in like a flood. The Bible says like locusts. And would trample their fields. They filled up the entire valley, the entire valley. They were like locusts and destroyed everything. Do you know what gave them the right and the open door? It wasn't that God just let them in. They were under a curse because of false worship. The Midianites, the Amalekites were a product of their false worship. They were a product of idolatry. A lot of us don't understand why we're facing what we're facing, why we're going through what we're going through. It's because you've opened the door to the enemy, and the enemy has come in like a flood because of your idolatry or your disobedience. You say, I don't know what's going on with my marriage. What's happening with my life? Why is my mind a mess? Why is my emotions a mess? It's because you've made way for the enemy, and he's come in like locusts and invaded your space. That false altar also represented fear. The children of Israel in that moment were consumed by fear. They were overrun by the enemy. The enemy was terrorizing them, and they were filled with fear. Even in that moment, realize when God first called Gideon, Gideon wasn't acting like a mighty warrior. He was fearful, but God called him. But they were bound. That was the state of the children of Israel. They were bound by fear. And that's what the altar had produced, that false altar. The third thing that we see is the false altar also was a symbol of the compromise that had come to the children of Israel. Instead of running to God, they ran to idols. And the reason they ran to idols is because they wanted to fit their form of desired worship. See, the children of Israel wanted to worship a certain way. They wanted to worship the way they wanted to worship. But you have to realize this, that God is the one. We're not the ones that determine how we worship. I just want to make sure you understand this. You're not the one that determines how you worship. God is actually the one that determines how we worship. And he says that we're going to worship him. My true worshipers will worship me in spirit and in truth. Matter of fact, we see in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably. So worship God what? Acceptably, with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. There's an acceptable way to worship. The problem with the children of Israel is they allowed compromise to come in and determine the way they worship God. They wanted to worship God the way they wanted to, on their terms. But God says, no, true worship is on my terms. There is a worship that is acceptable to God. And it's not just a posture. Some of us, you know, we have this thing, it's like, oh, Lord, my hands have to be this high. This high. No, that's not it. It's a posture of the heart. And too often Christians get enamored with their physical posture, but yet their heart posture's off. Interestingly enough, the children of Israel were worshiping, but they weren't worshiping the right God. Their physical posture was right, but their heart posture was wrong. Why? Their life was filled with compromise. Did you know you can have hands lifted high even in the sanctuary, but worshiping the wrong God? You could be worshiping the person next to you. You could be worshiping your own comfort. You could be worshiping even your own spirituality because you're focused on what you want and what you desire versus what God wants and what God desires. God could be calling you to a higher level of worship, but you're good with being right here because this is what's comfortable. God's like, look, if you just, and now listen, I'm not talking about just a physical posture again, but God may be saying he may be calling you to another level, a deeper level of worship, but you're just content with right here. And God's saying, look, just go a little higher, go a little deeper, just give me more, surrender more, because truly worship is about surrender.
And he may be calling you to a greater place of surrender, but you've become content in a certain level of comfort in worship and say, this is good enough. Singing this song is good enough. Going this deep is good enough. But God is saying, children of Israel, this is what he was saying in that moment. I need the children of Israel to come to a place of worshiping me with full surrender, to get rid of the compromise, to get rid of the sin, and to worship in spirit and in truth. And that compromise brought a mixture and a divided heart. You know, the sad thing was this. Even though they had neglected the altar of the Lord, they had a mixture in their life. They began to bring in other gods, more and more gods. And that mixture began to create a mixture of belief and understanding in truly who they were. See, friends, listen. A mixture in your life will always mess up and ruin and pollute your identity. They didn't know who they were because the truth is their worship was divided. They were bipolar in their worship. Now listen, what do you mean by that, Pastor? They had two personalities. When they needed certain things, they tried to run to this God, and then they needed other things, they ran to that God, and they were divided in heart. And the problem was it had messed up their identity, because you do not find who you are in just, oh, well, I'm Joshua Morocco. This is who I was born to. No, no, no. My identity, who I am, begins with whose I am. Who you are begins with whose you are. And the children of Israel forgot whose they were. And so it messed up who they were. That's why they were overcome by the enemy. They lost sight of who they were because they lost sight of whose they were. That mixture had created, it crept into the children of Israel. It crept into their life and it began to ruin their identity. See, when you understand who you are in God, when you know who God is, that's why the Word of God is so important, because it reveals who He is. And in revealing who He is, it reveals who you are. The enemy wants to do everything he can to bring a mixture to your life. Well, Pastor, I'm gonna worship this God and that God and this God and that God. And it may be money and it may be other things. It may be lust. And you may say, well, Pastor, it's not that bad, because I still love Jesus, but I also love this God and that God and that God and that God. And I still worship before the idol of TV, and I still worship before the idol of Graham. And I love God. I still go to church on Sunday, but Pastor, I can still have a God on Monday and another God on Tuesday and another God on. Now, I know that doesn't happen in this church, but the honest truth is this was the state in which Israel was operating in that moment. And they had become consumed, and the altar to Baal, this false altar, revealed the idols, the worship, the fear, the compromise, and the divide, the mixture. So God tells Gideon, if you want your people to be free, it doesn't start with you fighting against the enemy. It starts with you tearing down the altar in your own home. See, a lot of us want breakthrough, and a lot of us want victory, but we don't want to have to do the hard work to destroy and demolish. See, because a lot of times, you know, the Bible says resist the devil and he must flee. But this is the problem. Most of us, when we resist the devil, we're like, eh. Devil, stop it. When we pray prayers, we're like, in the name of Jesus, stop, devil. We don't really mean it. We don't really want victory. Sometimes it's just our religious activity. We're just, you know, and we think we're going to get freedom by approaching our false altars like this and just. Get devil.
But see, what's interesting is this. The Bible says when it uses that word resist, that word resist means to put your entire weight, everything that you are, against the enemy. It's not just a simple push. It's getting everything that I am, every bit of strength, every bit of boldness, every bit of faith that I have, every bit of strength that I have against the enemy. See, a lot of us are, Pastor, I don't know why the devil keeps coming after me. It's because the way you resist him. Let me tell you something. The way you deal with the altars of life will determine the victory you have. The way you deal with your false altars will determine the victory you have. The way you deal with your sin will determine the victory. Oh, well, Pastor, the altar's not that bad. So because we believe the altar's not that bad, the way we deal with it was like, is that good enough, God? Can you imagine if while Gideon was tearing down the altar, he's like, God, is that good? Is that good enough? No. I want you to destroy. See, when the Bible says that the angel of the Lord said, I want you to pull down the altar, it was like that six-year-old Joshua Morocco getting in his three-point stance and be like, okay, come on, here we go. Some of you have to get a revelation of how destructive the false altars in your life really are. Until you get that revelation, you'll keep flirting with sin. Until you get that revelation, you'll keep going over to your girlfriend's house and being like, Pastor, I don't know why we keep falling. The way you deal with your false altar will determine the victory you have. So what did the angel of the Lord say to Gideon? Gideon, I need you to pull down. Someone say, break it down. Come on, I need you to say, break it down. How many of you say, tonight, Pastor, I want to make a commitment to break it down? I'm tired of the devil having his way in my life. I'm tired of the devil being able to just permeate every aspect of my mind and my life and my emotions. I don't want the devil to have access like the locust did in that moment where the enemy was like locusts, begin to infiltrate every part of Israel's life. They destroyed everything. I'm tired of the devil destroying what God wants to do in my life. I'm going to get busy with it. I'm going to get strong. I'm going to get courageous. I'm going to get every bit of strength that I have. Every bit of boldness that I have, and I'm gonna. Should I keep going? Problem is, I broke the sledgehammer. Pastor, I'm tired. I've been fighting. I went to early morning prayer meeting this week, Pastor. I went to early morning prayer meeting on Monday. I don't know if I should go on Tuesday. Nothing happened today. Isn't it interesting how quickly we lose our tenacity? When the walls don't come down the way we want them to come down, when things don't change the way we want them to change, when it's just, I mean, Pastor, I'm tired. You know what the reason is because for many of us, we haven't built a strength and a tenacity inside of us. And so we get tired and we get weary and we keep trying to push. And the problem is this, the walls that God's called us, the altars that God's called us to tear down are still standing because we've lost our strength. You haven't lost your strength. You've given it up to the enemy, and God wants you to take your strength back. God wants you to say, it's time for the walls, it's time for the altars to come down. Come on, someone say, break it down. Break it down. Look at that person next to you and say, break it down. I'll tell you the hardest situation, the biggest problem that Gideon had to deal with was this temptation. Why don't I just build the altar next to the other altar? Wouldn't that just make it easier? Let's just build it next to the other altar. God isn't instructing Gideon to build on the old, but to break down the old altars. It wasn't, the new altar couldn't stand beside the old altar, had to replace it. You can't build God's altar on top of yesterday's idols. First, the old altar must fall, then God builds something new. So then this is what's amazing. Now, God tells Gideon, Gideon, it's time for you to build a new altar. So you know what he does? He begins to build a new altar. I don't even know what these say. Give me a second. So what he does is he lays down and said, he replaces idolatry with true worship. And he begins to worship the Lord because now this new altar, you got to understand, what did this new altar represent? What it represented, the altar of God. And the altar of God was a place of true worship. It was where the people of Israel would come and they would worship God. They would come before him in true worship. They would bring an offering and a sacrifice to the Lord. And so this is what Gideon was saying. We are establishing true worship to the Lord. And then he says this, we're going to also establish obedience. But it didn't stop there, because I want you to hear this. One of my favorite passages in the Bible. Many of you know this. What's the power of praise and worship? See, they were surrounded by an enemy. Some of you are surrounded by an enemy, and this is what you need, is Psalms 8:2. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemy to silence the foe and the avenger. Gideon understood something. If I can establish true worship in Israel, it will destroy the enemy, because there's power in your praise. There's power in your worship. There's power in your adoration. Come on, somebody. And then he had to stack up stones of obedience, because he knew that he was going to have to obey God. He was hard because he was knocking down his father's altars. There's got to be a generation that will decide to knock down the false altars of the past. Break off those generational curses, but it requires obedience. See, I truly believe that one of the reasons God called Gideon to build an altar, a new altar, before he called him to build an army, was because he wanted to see if Gideon would be obedient to whittle down the army. Gideon, will you obey me? We need faith. We need obedience. The third thing that we see is supernatural faith. Gideon was going to have to operate in faith. He was going to have to trust God. This was a part of the new altar. Friends, many of you have been operating in fear for far too long. The devil's got your number. And he's been trying to attack you. He's been trying to convince you that God's not going to intervene. God's not going to move. And you've been gripped by fear. But God says, I want to build a new altar. I want to build a new altar of faith where you begin to operate in supernatural faith. You begin to operate in supernatural power. Instead of running, you advance. Instead of running from, you advance to. You say, God, I'm going to step in to what you've called me to. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to have faith. And this is what's awesome, is that this new altar now was an altar of victory. Why? Because instead of it opening the door to the enemy like that false altar did, that the very reason why those enemies were there is because they were a people that were worshiping false gods. Now, this new altar represented victory. Can I tell you, if you'll build an altar of true worship before the Lord, obedience and faith before the Lord, and honor the Lord, you will begin to build an altar of victory. When he built that altar, now realize something. Truth of the matter is, not my favorite part of the story. Even though God called Gideon to build this new altar and destroy the old altar, he did it under the cover of night because he was scared. Even to the point where everybody woke up in the morning, they saw a destroyed altar and a new altar, and they see this new altar, and they're like, what is going on? Gideon didn't even say, hey, that was me. They had to figure out who it was. He still battled with this, and so many of us say, I want to do what God's called me to do, but we need a supernatural boldness in our life. Can I tell you, I truly believe this weekend God's going to do something with this young generation. This next generation, you're going to receive a download of supernatural boldness. You're not going to have to do the work of God cloaked in the darkness of night.
You're going to be able to stand in boldness in your school. You're going to stand in boldness in everywhere you are. You're going to begin to permeate your schools. You're going to permeate this city. God's going to use this next generation to stand boldly. But this is what I love about this, is the people were going to come against Gideon. Gideon's father took Gideon's side, said, we have a new altar. Friends, there's a new place of worship. We're not going to worship anymore the false gods of this world. We're going to worship God with everything that we have. We're not going to fall victim to our own complacency and worship. We're going to worship God with spirit and truth. Everything that we have, we're going to worship. What's so powerful about this passage is God didn't just call Gideon to destroy the false altars of the past. He said, Gideon, I want you to build a new altar. I want you to call the people of Israel to a place of worship. But you have to remember something. It didn't happen in the city square. It didn't happen at the temple. It started in Gideon's backyard. Revival doesn't start here. Revival starts in your backyard. The last thing that Gideon did is so significant. Now realize this is just some stick from the back, some rod that someone got in the back. But what's interesting about an astral pole, it wasn't just some stick stuck in the ground. They formed this thing. It was a work of art. It was something that was significant for worship. And the sad thing was this, child sacrifice happened on that pole. Horrendous evils happened on that pole. And this is what God tells Gideon to do. Gideon, I want you to take that Asherah pole and I want you to stick it on the new altar. What? I want you to stick it on the new altar and I want you to use this. I want you to use this as the kindling, as the fuel for new worship. See, lighting the Asherah pole was an act of direct defiance. My act of obedience to God and defiance to the enemy is going to be an offering of worship and praise. Say, devil, can I tell you, every time you resist the devil, every time you say no to the devil, every time he tries to tempt you, every time you resist the devil, do you know what it is? It's an act of worship to the Lord, because it's an act of defiance to the enemy and an act of obedience to God. A lot of us don't think, we just think we're in a battle. No, you're in worship, baby. Come on, you're not just fighting, you're worshiping God. You're worshiping Him. But God turned, I love this, hear me. God turned the symbol of false worship into fuel for true worship. God doesn't merely, and this is what's amazing, God didn't just tell Gideon, hey, Gideon, I want you to just chop the pole down, the Asherah pole, and just leave it there. You know why? The next morning, someone would come, and they would try and re-bring it up. They'd try and put it back up. Do you know what he did? He turned it to ash. That statement was this: this cannot be resurrected. This can't be put back up again. You see, the problem is a lot of people want to destroy their Asherah poles like this. Okay, I'm done with this today. But they never put it on the altar. They never burn it up. They never turn it into ash. What Gideon did is he said, we're going to turn this thing into ash. What? I can't go back to this. I can't just resurrect this tomorrow. I burned it on Monday. I'm going to resurrect it on Tuesday. No. He says, I'm going to turn this thing that has been used for idolatry, evil, horrendous practices, I'm going to turn it to ash, and it's going to set me free. I'm never going to bring this thing back up. I can't replant it. I can't re-erect it. I'm going to burn this thing to ash, and we're going to set our people free. For some of you, the reason why you're not experiencing the true freedom that God has for you is you keep just laying down your Asherah poles. God wants you to burn it. God wants you to set those things ablaze, to say, you know what? I'm not going back to this anymore. I'm not going back to that relationship. I'm not going back to that addiction. I'm not going back to that lust. I'm not going back to that greed. I'm not going back to that anger. I'm going to get set free. And the way you deal
with your astral poles away, you deal with your false altars, will determine the victory you have. Break it down. Build it up. And let it burn. I truly believe this is a word for this generation. Break it down. Build it up. Set it on fire. You're going to have to make a decision, young people, what you're going to do this weekend. Are you just going to have another youth experience, or are you going to have an encounter with God? Are you just going to put up an altar next to the old altar and let them live side by side? Are you just going to knock down the astral pole for a week and then resurrect it in 2 weeks? What are you going to do? How are you going to do? Young people, I challenge you. Break down the false altars in your life. Break down the false altars of your past. Break down the false altars of the generations previous. And build up a new altar of worship to the Lord. Build up a new lifestyle of freedom and a victory and a faith. And let the past sins, let the past addictions burn to ash. To say, I'm not going to resurrect this after this conference. I'm not going to go back to that after this conference. Because who the Son sets free is free indeed. There is no more bondage. There is no more bondage. You are free. I want everyone to stand to your feet. Come on, all over this place. And I want you to lift your hands to the Lord. Now, I know I've left all this rubble here at the altar tonight. But I want it to stand as a symbol of what I truly believe God is going to do in your life tonight by the power of the Holy Spirit. But friends, I need you to hear this. God didn't send fire from heaven today. God didn't send fire from heaven this day. God said, Gideon, I need you to get your sledgehammer and I need you to get to work to tear down the false altars. I like to say that there's no effort in it. It's not effortless. Someone tonight has going to have to take all your might, all your strength, everything you got, and say, I'm going to resist the devil tonight. I'm going to push back against the enemy. The devil's been pushing on me for far too long. It's time to push back with all my might. You're going to have victory tonight. How you deal with your false altars will determine the victory you have. And if you're here tonight, you say, Pastor, I'm willing to get that sledgehammer of faith, the sledgehammer of the Holy Spirit, and put it to work on the false altars of my life. I'm willing to deal with the old addictions. I'm willing to deal with the past. And I'm willing tonight to do what is necessary to see the false altars in my life come crumbling down.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.